sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Because we grieve and we feel bad for our neighbors up I-40. No, we don't. But because of them being sad and distraught, you know, they've been a Mavs fan since birth, since they were babies, and they've ruined dreams and all of this stuff. What is the worst that you have felt as a sports fan? Ben yesterday said that he's leaving the Mavs and joining the Rockets, which I can't imagine anything being done that would make me root for a team in Arlington. Mm-mm. Unless they pay me to work for their team. I think that's the only way.
That's not happening.
What do you mean it's not happening? What are you saying? You don't trust my talent?
No, I'm saying it's not happening that I'm ever rooting for a team in Dallas or Arlington.
What would it take for you if the Mavericks called you up and they wanted you to work on their broadcast and they were going to pay you $500,000?
I could work there.
But you still wouldn't. I mean, you would root for them, right?
It's tough. I mean,
I think you would root for them.
I think eventually, because you know that there's probably financial gain in if they do well, and if they, you know, depending on what they do, that. Yeah, you eventually start rooting for them.
And but you get to know the people, you know?
Yeah, it's part of your livelihood, which is important. And then if you do start building relationships, then regardless of what city you play in, you really root more for the guys. I get that. But it would take a lot. It would be tough.
You could pay me to root for your team. It wouldn't be that difficult for me. I have a price. Everybody's got a price. 713-780-ESPN. So what would it be for you, Blankers? What is your worst feeling that you've ever had as a sports fan?
Man, I got several, but from a professional standpoint, there is nothing more gut-wrenching in my fandomonium and my employment than John Stockton's shot that eliminated the Rockets the year that we all thought that they were at least going to get to the finals with a chance to win it, and it was at home. And that one was devastating. That one was brutal. I remember guys that didn't even want to get out of their unit. I remember Charles sitting in the small vom of the Summit, shaking his head, pounding his head against the wall, going, it never should have come to that, and we never should have lost. And, like, the guys were so distraught. That one was – because we had a big lead in that game. That one was excruciating.
Yeah, that would be pretty high for me, too. And it's probably one of the bigger ones in recent Rocket history, like, in, you know, since the 90s or whatever. I think that you do have to have, like, the sudden impact of this to really be, like, a terrible feeling. Because you can't – like, I feel like if you have a lot of time to let it, like, kind of set in, that you're able to cope with those feelings. So, like – you know, bad example here, but the Astros losing to the Tigers last year, like, you're trailing late in that game. You, like, you can kind of see it coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
To me, whenever you're blindsided by it, it makes it feel way, way worse. So I think it has to be something like that, sudden, blindsided. Like, the Luka trade certainly was that. Like, that was sudden. That was blindsiding every single Maverick fan. I think that you have to have high stakes in this, too. Like an elimination. You know, like, you're eliminated from the playoffs in your case. Eliminated from the tournament. Eliminated from, you know, the NFL playoffs. Eliminated from having a superstar that's at the age of 25 on your franchise going forward. So the ones for me would have to be recently with Cougar basketball. Uh-huh. You know, Jamal Shedd spraining the ankle, losing to Duke. Like, that, I was sick. I was sick after that one. The Tyler Hero shot in the Sweet 16 in Kansas City a few years back. Like, that one was sick. And then, of course, the Jordan Poole three in the round of 32, the first time that the Cougars had made the tournament is for a very long time. So, like, those are the ones that would jump out to me immediately.
And, like, to me, on another, the same thing, because I'm extremely vested in it, too. But the Lillard shot was the more recent version of the Stockton shot. And it falls into every category you just mentioned. The sudden finality of it all. I actually doing the broadcast. Craig was going out of his mind, and we went to commercial, and I'm like, I won't, and I can't. He goes, what? I go, there's still a second and a half on the clock. I can't until the buzzer hits zero. And he looked at me as soon as the shot went in, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't want to be right. Like, that was the massive gut punch of, again, a team that thought we're going to go home and win game seven, and we're going to be on to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
And then just from a personal standpoint, the two Packers for me are that NFC Championship game against the Seahawks, when in Seattle, in a tough place to play, with the 12th man and the Legion of Boom, you were winning the entire freaking game, and all you had to do was recover an onside kick, and a backup tight end wanted to be a hero and tried to field it instead of blocking. You lose that. You go to overtime. You lose the game and a chance to go to a Super Bowl. That one was extremely, extremely painful. And the one before that was the Packer team that everybody says, well, 9 times out of 10, you would have beaten the Broncos in the Super Bowl. But that 10th time, Elway and the Broncos beat you because you didn't play your best game. And that one hurt. That Seahawks game hurt me more than any other Packer game in recent history.
You don't have enough titles in Green Bay?
Never.
Never. That's a good answer. What is it for you, Brian? What is your biggest the memory that you have, your sports history as a sports fan, that is the worst you've ever felt?
Yeah, so Joel definitely took two of mine, that because I have a list of several, and the Stockton and the Lillard shots are definitely high on my list. But the two that stand out to me where I was just like basically comatose for a period of time after it happened, were the Brad Lidge walk-off against Pujols.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, now it didn't matter a few days later when Oswalt shoved in Game 6.
It still mattered. It still mattered.
I know, because it didn't allow you to set up your rotation for the World Series. But in that moment when Lidge is, kneeled over and Pujols is running around the bases, like, I was just completely comatose for a while. And the other one in football was when Colt McCoy injured his shoulder running the speed option left against Alabama. Texas was up, ended up being like 6-0 at the time. They still had the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to take the lead, even while playing Garrett freaking Gilbert. When Colt McCoy went down and you got his dad on the field like helping him off, I was just gut wrenched.
What year did you graduate from Texas?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. 713-780
ESPN. Is that supposed to be a point in your favor?
Battery Chuck says, worst I felt was whenever Beltran left for the Mets. I loved Carlos Beltran. That was a sad day in Houston sports history. And then on top of that, you had to deal with that overrated Willie Taveras at the top of the order for a couple of years. I thought he was so overrated. But I loved Carlos Beltran.
That year that Beltran was here was, or not even a year, just that half a season and that playoff run was so fun to watch.
Yeah, he was, he went nuts.
Defensively, offensively, power, average, clutch. He did everything.
Yeah, I loved that version of Carlos Beltran. Speaking of Carlos Beltran, acquaintance of mine, Guy, he says the worst day of my sports life was the day that the trash can stuff came out. See, that stuff, it didn't really, that one never bothered me a crazy amount. I didn't love that they fired Hinch and Luno. I hated that aspect of it. But I also, like, if you remember when it first came out, like, the was it Dreilich, Evan Dreilich or Dreilich, or however you say his name, Ken Rosenthal, they co-authored that piece. They were talking about how it was a league-wide problem. So, like, whenever it came out, I just automatically assumed, like, this is happening all over baseball. But because the Houston Astros are the champion, are the, 2 years removed from the championship and now playing in the World Series, and everybody hates the Astros because they had the Brandon Taubman thing, my immediate reaction was they're going to be the scapegoat of this, just like Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire were the scapegoat of the PED era. They weren't the only ones doing it, but they were the faces of it. So my immediate reaction was that the Astros are going to be the faces of this. So I never let it get to me a crazy amount. Now, I'll argue it, tooth and nail, but it never really bothered me deep down.
I think the biggest takeaway for me was they already got the World Series part of this, and as long as they weren't taking the World Series away from them, I'm with you. Like, you saw it and go, okay, well, at least the players aren't getting suspended, and they're not taking the World Series away from you, so you're going to be the bad guy, and going forward, this is probably going to be a very tough road to hoe for the short term for all these guys, but at the same time, you won. You didn't have to give it back. And the league, no matter what you heard and knew and saw, the league was going to make you the scapegoat. So how can you accept and handle being the ultimate villain?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I have a little bit of that personality too, where I don't mind being the antagonist. So like maybe that helped me cope or relate. I don't know. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener. A lot of people on the text line are saying the Texans up by 24 over the Chiefs. I never thought the Texans were winning that game. So to me, personally, and I can totally understand why people would have that one pretty high on their list, I never felt the sudden impact of, like, like a victory being taken away from me because I never felt they were going to win. And I feel like you have to feel like you're going to win the game when it's a game specifically and it's just ripped away. Like, you know, Albert Pujols hitting the big home run over Lidge or a game-winning shot, Lillard or Stockton. Like,
yeah,
you
finality.
Had victory yeah. in your hand and then it was ripped away. Yeah. I felt that way with Oilers-Bills. I never felt that way with Texans-Chiefs.
I just remember, like, at a lesser degree than you, I kept shaking my head going, is this really happening? Like, is this really going to happen? But I was never on the side of the fact that the game was over. I was never feeling like they're going to win this game. I was just so amazed that they had such a big lead so early that I was like, oh, my God. Like, the improbable is about to happen, and they're going to host the AFC Championship game. And then when you started to see it crumble before your eyes, you're just like, oh, no, yeah. not another one of those moments.
And there was no, like, sudden moment in it, right? Because, I mean, it was, what, 51 unanswered? So it's three quarters of just chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, and then obviously they took the lead and never gave it back. There wasn't, like, a sudden moment where it went from, oh, they have a chance to now it's over.
Yeah, yeah, that's part of it, too. Like, it was the Chiefs had the lead, what, early third quarter? Did they have the halftime lead?
I think
they did have the halftime lead. It's like, you didn't even lead that game at the half. Like, it was just nuts to think, but you didn't. 713-780-ESPN, worst moment you've had as a sports fan, because we're grieving, we're coping with those that are in Dallas and are suffering in this great loss of Luka Doncic going to L.A. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Ben, you're in the Hive. What's up, Ben?
Yes, I have one as a Dallas fan, not Luka Doncic related. I can't remember what year it was, when Nelson Cruz couldn't figure out how to catch a fly ball in right field.
Right.
And we thought we were going to win our first World Series in history. Josh Hamilton had just hit a home run in like the 10th inning, took a 2-run lead. Nelson can't catch the ball. David Freese hits a home run, and our hearts were broken. It was gut-wrenching.
Yeah,
I think it was a very happy day in H-Town.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't Berkman on that Rangers team?
I think so.
I thought he was on the Cardinals when they.
Well, he was. He won a World Series.
Yeah,
with
he
Cardinals.
Got a ring with the Cardinals, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think he might have been on that.
I think
Rangers
Jeremy's right
team as well. Because I remember like being torn during that series. I was like, I kind of want Berkman to win one, but at the same time, I don't. What year was that? That they went to the World Series. Do you remember the Rangers? Nah, it might not have been the same year. I might be getting those confused. I often do that. Looks like I did. All right, 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people weighing in on this on the HRP listener line. What is the worst you have felt? Because we're trying to be good neighbors to those that are sad in Dallas. What is the worst that you have felt in your sports fandom? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is the worst you felt as a sports fan? A lot of Mavs fans are feeling that right now with the trade of Luka Doncic. 713-780-ESPN. Chris from Sam Houston says AJ pulling Grinky. See, I don't know if that has the sudden impact of it. Because, like, what if you get out of the inning? Like, you didn't quite feel the worst ever when AJ pulled Grinky. You felt
right.
The worst whenever Harris gave out that little dink to Howie Kendrick that grazed the right field foul pole.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, you're right. Because, again, we talk about the finality of it all. You may not have agreed with it. You may have had apprehension about it, but the hammer hadn't dropped yet.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have a tough time believing when he was pulled, that's the worst you've ever felt. You might have been nervous. You might have been scared. But well, when Howie Kendrick dinked it off the foul poles, to me, the lower moment.
It's also when you found out who he was being pulled for.
Yeah, because people wanted Cole.
That's right.
I mean, Will Harris was pretty dang
good.
He
had a great year that year.
Yeah, but people did want Cole.
Yep.
Hinch wanted to give Cole the fresh inning, and then Cole, you know, as a representative of himself, got a little sassy in the post game. I kind of felt bad for Cole there, actually. People don't like that take that I have, though. But the dude is a competitor. He wanted to win the World Series. It was his first chance to win a World Series. He really wanted to pitch, And then he's like having to be asked questions. Like, I can understand why Gerrit Cole was not too pleased in that moment.
He could have handled it a lot better, but yeah, he could have gotten more sympathy if he didn't wear the Boris hat,
yeah,
and do all the other nonsense about "I don't work here anymore" kind of stuff. But yeah,
yeah, I feel like it's because he was more upset in the moment.
Maybe so.
Like, I don't feel like he was being like, you know, spiteful to the Astros. Like I felt like he got too much grief for that. Certainly could have handled it better. Don't put on the Boris hat. He acted like a baby. There's no doubt about that. But I felt like he got too much flack for that.
Well, I think the other thing was you knew. Kind of like to your point about this, about the finality of the extra salt on it was you knew he wasn't coming back. You knew he was going to the hated Yankees, and that didn't help anything.
Yeah, it was almost symbolic of that is what it became.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he had another year on his contract and he did that, I don't think we even bat an eye, quite frankly. Let's see. XX says worst feeling was the Pujols home run, kind of like Brian. Gator Fry Rice says Beltran and Alex Cora. He's talking about the sign stealing. Alex says, I love violence. I do, but I'm not sure why you said it this time. Rare Candy says Oilers Bills. See, Oilers Bills is pretty high on that list for me. I remember where I was. I remember watching that game. I was a very young kid sitting in an humble apartment watching that game all by myself as a young child as my mother went to the mall without me. That one resonated with
me.
Sounds
like more like childhood trauma than I struggle with the
Oilers.
I think
statute of limitations are there, though. I don't think she can get in trouble anymore.
No, I think she's all right by the law. I struggle with Oilers, though, whether or not to pick Oilers Bills or the Oilers leaving. I guess the Oilers leaving wasn't as sudden because there's a long lead-up, but both tore my heart out as a young fella.
There was
a lot of...
It depends on when that moment was, though. Because, like, the moment that they left, like, literally left, people were, like, over the Oilers. Like, once everybody caught wind and, you know, they knew it was coming, that they were going to leave those final, I think it was one more year that they played in Houston
after that,
like, there people were like, okay, apathy.
I think that's more.
Wasn't it more that they were done with Bud than they were the team itself?
I think it was more that they were done with Bud, and I would also say that would be different depending on the age, because at the time they left, I would have been, like, 12 years old. I think it's different for, like me now, I would totally have that feeling of, you know, screw those guys, I'm done with them. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, I think their reaction's obviously different. You're not as desensitized and detached or willing to detach as you are as an adult.
I think you are hit harder whenever you're younger. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Virginia says, worst moment as a sports fan was Trinity University going to D3 football championship, but quarterback got drunk and punches a cop on Riverwalk, so they start a quarterback with no experience and got destroyed. That stinks, Vermont. I feel bad for you. I wish that didn't happen. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Brandon, you're in the high. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I actually got three. I'm a Michigan fan, but I got three. I got 2006, game of the century, 1-2. Of course, Michigan loses 39-42. Second one is 2016, Michigan, Ohio State. JT Barrett was short, and then Michigan loses in double overtime. If they win that, they probably go to the playoffs. And what was my third?
Sounds like it'd be Michigan related. Was it when Jordan Poole hit that
shot
on Houston?
Yeah, I forget. But anyway, I just wanted to get in, fellas. Thank you.
You got it, Brandon. So it sounds like we got a Michigan fan listening.
Yes, indeed it does. Yes. So he wants Bregman with the Tigers, probably.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Like, people have university affiliations and then
that's true.
Different professional affiliations. But, yeah, I mean, there's probably more Tiger-Michigan correlation than anything else. Yeah, those are some good ones there, Brandon, Michigan-related, although I don't have any love loss for Michigan. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. John, what's the worst you've ever felt as a fan?
What's up, guys? Definitely as a Houston fan would be in 2018 for me, for the Rockets, game 7 against the Warriors, missing 27 straight three-pointers. That one was extremely hard to get over.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's going to stick in the craw of a lot of Rockets fans. And, you know, I hate the fact that it was in everybody's minds a given that if they don't miss 27 threes that they were going to win the title.
Uh-huh. For sure, that is part of it. My hang-up with that one, look, certainly belongs in the conversation. I'm not dismissing it from the conversation, but why it's not at the top of my list, I didn't love James Harden. I didn't love exactly. if it was Akeem, if it was Altuve, if it was Watt, like that's I didn't love James Harden. So that's why it's not at the very top for me. It'd be a little bit lower, and I understand that I'm in a minority there. 713-780-ESPN. Back to the HRP listener line. Dave, what's the worst you felt?
Hey guys, you gotta be kinda old to appreciate this one, but if you were around in 1983 to watch the Houston Cougars lose to North Carolina State on that Monday night, it was brutal, especially if you were college age, as I was at the time, and going to U of H. And the worst thing, too, or not the worst thing, but every year you get reminded of it because every time March Madness rolls around, they're always going to show those images of Jim Valvano, God rest his soul, racing around the court, and it just brings it back every year. So that was a tough one, I'm telling you. Very tough.
I mean, look, I remember.
Do you remember that game, Blake? I mean, I wasn't born yet. Obviously, I went back and watched that game several times.
I was a little kid, but obviously you know my love of basketball, and I would never miss an NCAA final game. And at the time, like, the Cinderella story was the Wolfpack. So I remember watching all of it, but I thought, you know, the dominant best team was the Cougs. And I was like, man, this is great because it's such an exciting game. And then the way it ended, I really felt bad for the Cougs.
Yeah. Yeah, I went back and watched it, and there's so many things that happened in that game where it's like, one thing goes differently, you probably win this game comfortably, or at least win the game. So, and of course, you know, being familiar with the program and talking to a lot of people that did live through that, that's pretty high if you were around for that. 713-780 and a Cougar fan. 713-780-ESPN. COVID canceling all of the sports for a while. That was pretty weird. That was just that to me was more surreal than anything else.
Which one?
COVID canceling everything.
Yeah, that I did. Well, I mean, yeah, that again, there's no finality. There's no like gut punch. There's no, yeah, it just sucked because you didn't know when it was going to end and you know how it was going to affect not only everything, but how many of us rely on sports to be that kind of buffered everything and then it was going to be altered or is going to be gone for a while. That sucked.
That one's, I mean, I get where the texture's coming from because you had all of sports taken away from you. Literally, like, March Madness was close to starting. It got ripped away from you. But at the same time, there was so much going on in the world. Like, I mean, who didn't have, you know, the pandemic touch their lives personally from, you know, friends and loved ones? It was kind of easy to forget about sports for a little while because of how serious it got. So I didn't feel that one as much.
I mean, I didn't have a paycheck for 6 months.
I got let go too, man. I that's kind of my point. Like, there were so many other things going on in the world that it was easy to kind of forget about sports because I was focused on other things.
Baylor Dave says, I watched Baylor win a national title with cardboard people taking up every other seat. You won a national title. Shut up. Like, that's not a bad moment, you know? You won a natty. It's going to be okay for you. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Sick brag there.
Yeah. I watched a national championship with cardboard every other. You want a natty, dude. Shut your mouth. 713-780-ESPN. You probably needed four eyes to watch that natty. 713-780-3776. What is the worst you have felt as a sports fan? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, we know it's Super Bowl week. You know the big game is upon us. It's going to be here before you know it. Whether you're a fan of the Chiefs, Eagles, or not a fan of either team, you can make the game a hell of a lot more interesting if you head to mybookie.ag because it's the place you want to be if you want to put money down on the big game or just sports in general. Whether you're leaning Chiefs or Eagles, if you win some cash, that is the biggest Super Bowl win you could ever have. So what you need to do is get to mybookie.ag, and anytime and every time they ask you for a promo code, use bet975 to get a welcome bonus on top of your initial deposit. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. That money is free just by using our promo code. The big game prop bets, they're ridiculous. You can bet on Trump, and you can bet on Gatorade, and you can bet on Taylor Swift, and so much more. How long is the national anthem going to be, over or under? That's another fun one you can get involved in. Spice up your big game experience. Sign up with MyBookie today. Go to MyBookie.ag, click on bonuses, and then use our promo code BET975. It's why I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. What's the only place I tell you to do it? It's MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's hammer through these. 713-780-ESPN. Worst moment you felt as a fan because of the Luka Doncic trade. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Angel, you're in the high. What's the worst you felt as a fan?
Hi, fellas. Well, there's actually two of them. One of them was already mentioned. We were up 3-2 in that series, and we ended up losing Game 7 at home, if I'm not mistaken. And not only that, knowing that Chris Paul got hurt, if I'm not mistaken, and couldn't play in that Game 7, yeah. That kind of changed the whole thing. Losing that series, that really hurt a lot. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have the best record. I mean, things were going and flowing for the Houston Rockets. But anyway, that was the first one. And the second one, BMAC, if you can help me out here, I think it was 2 years ago. I'm also wasn't a student at University of Texas, but I am a Longhorns fan. 2 years ago, in the Cotton Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, we lost to Oklahoma. And I think Dillon Gabriel was the quarterback. And I think
correct.
We lost by like a last-second touchdown against, you know, the Sooners. And, man, I cannot tell you how painful that was. I hate losing to the Oklahoma Sooners, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah, the hamstring of Chris Paul is going to be up there. It's been sending a lot on the text line. The hamstring injury. Few Texas fans here a little bit. Texter Bo, Southern Miss beating undefeated U of H, which cost them a BCS berth. That was Old Robertson. That was Kevin Sumlin's last game.
That's right.
At Houston. They had already taken the A&M job.
That's right. Yeah, that was tough because that was one of those. Man, they're really headed to bigger and better things. That was a big letdown. That's a good call.
Case. Makes me sad. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Paul, you're in the high. What's the worst you felt?
Yeah, man, what's going on? Mine was definitely the Pujols home run. And the other one was the Dez Bryant not a catch.
I love that. That was fantastic. That was absolutely amazing.
Appreciate it. It wasn't a catch, though. I don't even know how people can argue it, quite frankly.
It was or it wasn't?
It was not.
Under the rules at the time, it actually was.
No, it was not.
No, it was not a catch at all.
The ball hit the ground and popped out of his hand.
The rules at the time,
it
actually wasn't. But to me, it sure did look like a catch.
He came down and hit the ground and popped out of his hands. How's that
a catch? Yeah, I never understood I understand it because they're fans and they're blind to their own passions and interests. But I never understood how Cowboys fans painted that into a catch. It was nowhere close by the rules.
See, I think we understand. We've got a better understanding of that rule than we did at that time to where – like, I was at the game that was, like, almost right in front of me, and I thought, oh, my God, that's a catch. But where I hate it is the fact that Cowboys fans assumed if it was a catch, they'd have won the game. No, it was a 2- or 3-point game. Rodgers had 3 timeouts, 3 minutes left on the clock, and he was in a fine place to guarantee a field goal or more. I'm not going to give you the game. But I saw it, and I thought it was a catch at the time.
Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. David, you're in the high. What's the worst you felt?
The worst I ever felt was when we lost that 1979 game to Pittsburgh. I was 13 years of age. Vernon Perry got an interception, ran back the length of the field. I hopped up screaming, hollering, and shouting, lost my voice. And when we lost that game, man, I was so sick I couldn't even speak. And I had to sit there quiet the rest of the day angry.
That was the Renfro game.
I was going to say, was that the Renfro game?
It's the Renfro game. It was, yeah.
That
I'm going to go back
Renfro,
and watch it.
Man. I was so sick, I couldn't think straight.
I've never – you're madder than a hornet. Appreciate the call, David. I've never watched that game. I've never watched that game.
Yeah,
we're going to do it over the summer. Let's do that. Let's pretend it's a Sunday game. Let's pretend like the 1979 Hunter Renfro.
I like that.
The 1979 Mike Renfro game. Let's pretend like it's an actual game that's happening on a Sunday, and then we'll react to it the very next Monday. We'll do it in July when nobody cares about sports.
Or Texans bye week because there's no game to talk about.
It's still NFL, though.
I'd rather, summer, there's nothing. I mean, like MLB All-Star Weekend.
Ooh, that's a great call. Yeah. During All-Star Week, yeah.
Yeah, we'll come together on a date, and we're going to react to it the next Monday like it just happened in real time.
I remember the play because you can't – in Oilers history. But
the thing, I mean, I wasn't alive to watch it, obviously, but the thing that always I nitpick from what I know about it is that, sure, Renfroe was in bounds, but it would have just tied the game. It wasn't like it was a go-ahead score.
And weren't there other controversial calls?
I don't, like I said, I've never watched it all.
Yeah, I've heard people mention it. Again, I don't know.
19, Game 7 World Series, Harris blowing the game instead of going with Gerrit Cole. Yeah, I mean, that's up there for sure. Mm-hmm. 23 against the Rangers, being down like 23-4 in the fourth inning. Game 7, that was bad. I hated that series so much. All you had to do is win one home game.
What about the Game 7 Mavericks game where you got blasted by 40 when you thought you had a legit chance?
Yeah,
it was over so quickly, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It was over so quickly. Someone said the Chris Webber timeout. That would be tough if Michigan.
Would be up there if I was a Michigan
basketball
fan.
I'm a Michigan fan. That
one
is never going away.
That was rough.
An underrated one to me, you'll help me out with the year here, Joel. I think it was the 2007-2008 season. But the year where the Rockets beat the Blazers in the first round, went on to face the Lakers, won game one in L.A.
Yao got hurt.
But then Yao got hurt, exactly. Yeah. When Yao got hurt, you realize he was out for the rest of the season. You're up 1-0 on the Lakers after winning in their home court. If he's gone the rest of the way, and you're already without T-Mac too, that was a pretty big gut punch for me.
I remember that because we were thinking, hey, even with T-Mac or not, we had momentum. We were playing really good basketball. We're like, we got a legit chance. And I was in the tunnel with Keith Jones and Yao after Yao was like doubled over. And I looked at Keith and I'm like, and he went, mm-mm. He shook his head and he's like, and I'm like, just for tonight. And he goes, mm-mm. And I was like, oh my God, it's over. It sucked.
And they still took him to seven.
Yeah, and they did. That's what I'm saying. And with him, I think they win the series. They advance. Again, I'm not going to say how far they would have gone, but they would have played, I think, Denver in the conference finals, and I'd have given them a hell of a shot to get to the finals.
I was more sad it cut his career short. That's the thing that got me, because I loved Yao Ming. Yao might be one of my favorite basketball players ever, that his career got cut short like that was very sad.
His touch from a big man perspective was unreal.
It was. DeAndre getting traded to the Cardinals is my number one. Yeah, that's up there, especially in hindsight. Like, I didn't hate the idea of trading DeAndre, but the return is where I was like, okay, this is nasty. This is gross. This is dirty. And then you get the Easterby stuff to come out later, like made it even worse.
Well, and I remember in terms of just we talk about the finality or the sudden impact, I remember being in this here getting ready to do a show when the word broke, and everyone, that was one of those stunners where you all just kind of took a step back and went, no, that's not real. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy bleep, they not only traded him, but they didn't get anything for him.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. 713-780-ESPN, Alabama fan, that kick six loss to Auburn was awful. The entire sports bar I watched it in Tuscaloosa was dead silent.
Brutal.
Yeah, that'd be rough. I mean, if you're watching in a Tuscaloosa bar, that'd be really bad. Ray Allen, corner three against the Spurs. I remember where I was for that one. Mm-hmm. I was just down the hall, actually, doing updates at old Yahoo Sports Radio. That was unbelievable.
I may or may not have been in the building.
Okay. Look at that flex. Like it. Crabtree with the walk-off on Texas. I guess it depends on your perspective of that.
I don't recall that.
That one killed me. I can't believe I forgot about that one. Yeah, that one ruined me for a little bit.
That was a great game.
That one, I mean, the moment wasn't as big, but certainly the quick suddenality of it was bigger than the Colt McCoy
thing. That was a bomb. I don't.
No, it wasn't a bomb. It was like maybe 15, 20 yards.
Kind of like a deep drag, good catch and run. Harrell was the quarterback, right? Was it Graham Harrell?
Graham Harrell, yeah.
Yeah, that was a fantastic
Blake Gideon,
game.
Like two plays before that, had a pass hit him in the chest and dropped it. Should have never happened.
Like on that note, with a game like that, Packers, Niners, wild card, Packers winning the whole game, looking like they're going to win, and that's the game where T.O. caught Steve Young threw the ball between like two defenders. T.O. caught it and started crying. And it was like, that was one where I was already almost celebrating inside going, we're going to win this game. And then boom, kicking the grapes, ball game over. T.O.'s crying. And I'm like sick to my stomach.
Yeah. I love the ending of that. I love Steve Young. So I was a fan of that one.
Another Houston one. Forgive me if I was screening a call when you guys mentioned this, but and this, it kind of hurts because the guy's here now and we love him on the Astros broadcast, but the Jeff Blum home run in I know it was game three and they're already down 2-0, but if he doesn't hit that home run, you find a way to rally. Obviously, they only lose game four, 1-0. It feels like in that moment, if they win that game three, if Blum doesn't hit the home run, they're back in the series.
I feel like the Pesednik home run was more memorable.
Yeah, especially since he was not a home run guy at all.
But I'm with you, B-Mac, that I thought if they win that game, they still got a shot in the series. and I felt like they were going to win that game. And it was cold that night too at Minute Maid. I remember I was there. And it was starting to get freezing, but like the more longer the game got in, I'm like, but yeah, as long as they win, it's going to be fine. And they still got a shot in the series. And then that was good.
And then right? Ezekiel Stacio came in and it was all over.
Pooh! See ya.
Ezekiel Stacio. Handsome fella. Titans fan, 1 yard. That stung. I still like the Titans.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I liked Steve McNair and I liked Eddie George and I liked Frank Whitecheck. Rest in peace.
What if you were on the wrong side of the Music City Miracle?
Yeah, it was early in the
Bills
playoffs,
fans,
though.
Sure.
Yeah. It was, Bills yeah, it was have had some agony, round. Though. Yeah.
They really
yeah.
did.
They've had a lot of agony, the Bills have. Oilers leaving is my number one by far, being a Houston sports fan and a massive uniform nerd, and having to go from Columbia Blue Red, uniquely named Oilers, to the 10,000th red, white, navy team called the Texans will take
never,
all
never
the way off
quit
for the rest of my life. Okay. Uniform nerd aspect of it I like. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRP listener line. Paul, you're in the Hive. What's up, Paul?
Hey, I'm a Red Sox fan, transplanted. In 1978, I was at the Bucky Dent game.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Bucky Dent.
Choked up
it
on that bat and took it right over the monster.
Who do you blame the most for the 86 World Series, Paul?
For the what?
The Bill Buckner World Series. Who do you blame the most in that whole ordeal?
Oh, the manager.
The manager. Because he pulled in Billy Buckner, who was not in the game usually?
Yeah, should have taken him out.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate
I couldn't walk.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Paul. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that's the thing that people lose. Like, the Buckner thing was weird because they'd already tied the game. You know, mm-hmm. like, they'd already rallied and tied the game. But I forget who the manager was. But he would always replace Bill Buckner in late game situations with a lead because – He wasn't very good defensively. So he'd bring in a defensive replacement to play first base, but he didn't do it in Game 6 of the 86 World Series because he felt like he owed it to Bill Buckner to be on the field when the Red Sox clinched. So he didn't do what he normally did, and then the game tie goes through
Who
Buckner's
was the
leg.
I got to look that
Mets
up now.
Win. I mean, I don't remember.
It wasn't Zim because Zim was gone by then. I'm gonna look.
John McNamara.
Ah, there you go.
John McNamara. His son was a pretty good basketball player at Syracuse.
Really?
Yeah. Jerry? All right, 713-780-ESPN. Cash 'em or trash 'em? What are you cashing or trashing with the Bees? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that will never make you sad, like all the fans in Dallas right now, is HR&P. If you're a business owner, you need to get HR&P in your life. Great people over there. Customer service is fantastic. And look, they're going to help you. They're going to help you make life easier. My colleague, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years, whether it's Mike, whether it's Chris, whether it's all the great people that are working at HR&P. They're going to make things easier on you. HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. You're going to wish you had them right now because we're right in the thick of tax season. HR&P is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HR&P. If you need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HR&P is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, we talked a little bit about the family of people they have over there, but their customer service is fantastic. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. We use HR&P here at Gal. I can speak to that customer service. I can attest for it. Anytime I have a question, quick response, easy to understand. Let HR&P take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a Killer Bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash with the Bees. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. Blankers, what are you cashing?
Jeremy, in the very near future, Brian, It's time to wear the chains and grow the facial hair back and let him be him. Alex Verdugo will be a Houston Astro very soon.
Did he used to have facial hair and now he doesn't?
You didn't hear his quote. He came out yesterday and it was basically kind of crapping on the Yankees, but he's like, I can't wait to get to a place where I can wear my chains, grow my facial hair, and get back to being me.
Yeah, he did have a beard. I just Googled it. I didn't remember. I'm not that intimate with the facial hair of Alex Verdugo back in his Bo Sox days. But yeah, he did have a beard.
It's more so that the Yankees in this day and age still get away with requiring guys to shave.
You can have a mustache, though.
Yeah, because your boy
Nestor, had a mustache.
How about Don Mattingly? Like, that's the most famous Yankee mustache I remember is Mattingly.
I mean, back in the day, there was a relief pitcher named Sparky Lyle that had quite the massive mustache. But
I'm going to trash it. I'm going to trash it. Just because, like, they haven't done it already. They could have already done it. There are other outfielders that could be in play here. So I think the math would tell me to trash this. I think the majority, like, the odds would be in my favor here.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler Rome told Gallant George last week that basically they're not going over the competitive balance tax if it's not for Alex Bregman. And I would assume any deal for Verdugo goes way beyond that, so I'm going to trash it as well.
I don't know if that's the case, though. Like, the Astros have some wiggle room.
How close are they?
I think it's like $9 million.
Do you think Verdugo signs for 9 or less?
You can get him for
they're around 7 day. Million. Around
okay,
7 million.
Okay, I guess okay, market then was softer than I thought. Okay, I thought he was going to be, you know,
did
11
you say 7 Jeremy?
They have say wiggle room projection. They have 7 million projection.
Yeah, I thought he would get 7.
Yeah, I think they can it's borderline. It's borderline. I think they could potentially do it. I think they can get an outfielder for under 7.
I agree if they can get an outfielder under 7. I don't think they could get Verdugo under 7.
I mean, he's not signed, and he was not good last year. So,
yeah. No, I mean, look, certainly an answer we'll get, or something we'll get an answer to relatively soon, we think, maybe in a month. But my gut feeling is he would cost more than 7. And even if it's, like, right at 7, it would leave him no wiggle room in the season. I just don't see Jim Crane making that move. It's not sexy. It's not splashy. I don't think he makes the move.
I think they signed an outfielder, though. So that's like the pushback I would have.
And outfielder, yes. I just don't think it's for Verdugo.
Yeah. Lakers are currently 28-19. The Mavericks are 26-24. So difference there of, what is that, 2.5 games? 3.5 games. The Dallas Mavericks will finish with a better record than the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's... I think it depends on between now and the deadline tomorrow.
Back.
Yeah, I think both teams are really more in desperation mode trying to get into win it now.
No hedging here.
No
hedging.
I'm just trying to think who do I have the most faith in. I know the Lakers still have a first-round pick. The Mavs, I think, have some assets. I am going to... You said Dallas would? I'm going to trash it. I think the Lakers will.
Trash.
I'm giving you a 3.5-game head start, too.
Yeah, I think the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lakers set as well, so I'm going to trash it. I think the Lakers are going to make another move. They know LeBron's at the end.
Vucevic is going to be a Laker.
Yeah, or him or someone else. I think they make a move, and they already got a little bit of a lead, so I'll stick with the Lakers.
Let's mark this date down and see how it all pans out. All right, Brian, what you got?
This is my cash or trash it is the continuation for the year of the running back. I mean, we've seen, obviously, the big free agent names all leave their old teams, go to new teams, and have monster years, including one I was massively wrong about with Derrick Henry. But I think the year of the running back continues with not a quarterback, not Jalen Hurts, not Patrick Mahomes winning Super Bowl MVP. Saquon Barkley will be your Super Bowl MVP. The Eagles will win the Super Bowl. We've seen the Chiefs defense. We know them as a great run defense, but Joe Mixon averaged just under 5 yards per carry against them in the divisional round. James Cook was over 5 yards a carry in the AFC title game. Chiefs run defense is having a little bit of an issue, and Saquon Barkley, I think, exploits it and takes home Super Bowl MVP.
I believe the Chiefs haven't given up a 100-yard game to a running back in like a year.
Mixon and Cook were both under it. I mean, the Bills just criminally underworked James Cook. He only had 13 carries in that game, but he was like 6-7 yards per carry.
Yeah, so he's going to be a great quarterback.
Saquon's
and Josh
get a far
Allen.
Bigger workload than what James Cook got.
I'm going to trash it. I think the Chiefs are going to win the game, so I'm going to trash it. I think that if the Eagles win the game, Saquon probably has to be the MVP, but I'm going to trash it because I think the Chiefs are going to win the game.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it too.
Trash.
I think we see three-peats for the first time in Super Bowl history.
Yep.
And I think we really start having the conversation of Pat Mahomes as the greatest resume in NFL history. I think we start having it. So I'll trash that one. Cody's Toots on Twitter. He had this one earlier. Earlier this week. So Fox basically paid for Chip Kelly to be to the Raiders in a way. Tom Brady makes a ton of money broadcasting the games for Fox. Brady's behind this big infusion of cash for the Raiders. I know Brady had millions and millions before Fox, but this can't sit well with NFL owners. So a couple here. Cash or trash, does this sit poorly with NFL owners? And then the other one is Tom Brady the reason that the Raiders have this infusion of cash because of the money he's making from Fox?
I'm going to trash the Brady aspect.
Trash.
Because he's a very minority owner. I don't think that he's got any kind of – I don't think that his money's into play here from that perspective. And I think from an owner's perspective, they probably are a little irked because we know that they make a lot of money and they like to keep a lot of money. And that if they're anywhere near successful with Chip Kelly after giving him that kind of money, a trend will be set and you're going to have to pay more to get coordinators, and that's going to suck.
Yeah, I'm trashing all of this.
Trash.
NFL owners make lots of money. Newsflash. So,
yeah, they make lots of money. And from what you read about Brady, there's been reports and articles about him bringing in investors. So certainly maybe Brady brought in money, but it's Fox money that got Chip Kelly paid. So trash it.
Yeah,
trash
could do this as well. A few from the text line. Eric the driver, cash or trash, the NFL should allow fighting the same way the NHL does.
Who should? NFL should allow fighting like the NHL?
Correct.
Well, I mean, if you want to mess yourself up, because punching helmets has never been intelligent, but I mean, look, there's violence in the sport anyway, and I'm all for the drama of the fighting part of it. It'd be fun to watch, so great. Let's have it.
I did not expect that from you. I'm cashing this. Yeah, this would be awesome. Give me all of it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, if they want to punch a helmet, that's on them. Go ahead and break your hand.
Cash or trash it, the Rockets will make a trade before Thursday's deadline.
I think they're going to make a trade. It's just not the kind of trade that people are expecting. I think it's going to be a very minor trade, maybe trying to get like a backup big or an athletic big. I don't think it's anything more than that.
Yeah, I think they'll make a trade, Cash.
Yeah, I back up what Joel said. It's a move, but it's a minor move. Nothing that grabs the headlines, but they'll definitely make a trade.
Cash or trash, the Woodlands is a better outer Houston area than Katy.
I enjoy the Woodlands. I'm sorry it's so far away, but I enjoy the golf and everything about the Woodlands. I'll cash that.
Yeah, I cash that. I kind of live in the Woodlands.
Yeah, it's a sweep. I'll cash it as well.
Last one, cash or trash, Italian food is number two of greatest types of food behind Mexican food.
Ooh.
It's a hard trash for me.
Yeah, I would prefer barbecue over Italian.
I'll take barbecue,
burgers.
I'll take Chinese, I'll take Japanese, I'll take Thai.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's certainly number two.
I'm
going to
cash that.
You're going to cash it?
Yeah, I love
trash.
A lot of Italian food, and not to crap on the others that you mentioned, because I love Chinese and some of the other foods that you mentioned, but pizza and lasagna and all kinds of, and calzones and stuff. No, I'm going to.
I mean, I love Italian food.
You take that over Chinese?
Yeah.
I would take
you
Italian
take it over barbecue?
Chinese. I would take Italian over Chinese.
Yeah.
He hesitated. You take it over a steak?
But that's not really. I mean, that's tough. That was
like
that,
American fare.
Is steak considered Americano, or
not
is that even
sure.
a consideration?
Like real food.
You could make a steak Italian. You know,
yeah.
Italian restaurants have steak. A little steak carbonara. So.
Yeah, I love Italian. I don't think I could have it second. I'd have Tex-Mex, obviously, but also barbecue and, like, burgers.
Yeah, I might not even make my top five.
It would be in my top five, but probably it's fourth.
All right. Tash, I'm going to leave now. You irritated me with this Italian food take, number two. So I'm going to head on out.
Our beloved Cougs!
Call some Houston basketball. So the boys will take you the rest of the way. Appreciate you boys for picking me up. It feels like the Astros are taking middle relief for granted, huh? Especially that seventh inning role. Which one of these guys is worried about it? That's next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.